Thank you for the introduction, Dr. McElroy. And thanks, everybody, for coming. Like you said, I'm Jacob Fuhr. The title kind of changed from when we made the abstract, so it's actually examining the impact of nitrogen and temperature on clipping yield. So first, I want to lay some groundwork and just look at clipping yield response to nitrogen fertilization. This figure adapted from Cusseau in 1997. It shows annual dry clipping yield actually responds very well to nitrogen fertilization. Typical fertilization between 90 to 200 kilograms per hectare per year on this species, and for maximum clipping yield to be produced, it would have to be around over 700 kilograms per hectare per year. So you see that clipping yield is very responsive to nitrogen fertilizer. How does this change throughout the growing season? So these cool season nitrogen fertilizer recommendations are typically based off of bimodal growth curves that we find in textbooks. It's important to note that there's not much scientific data on mature modern turf grasses for these bimodal growth curves. And so we'll move into the recommendations. The first nitrogen recommendation usually occurs in early spring coming out of winter when temperatures warm up and is conducive to growth for cool season species. And then the next application before summer to prepare the plant for the summer stresses. And we'll discuss summer nitrogen fertilizer later. And then the most important, some people think, is the fall nitrogen fertilizer application, where 30 to 50% of our annual nitrogen is applied. So when temperatures start to cool off from the summer and those cool season species get a break and start to grow faster. And then the final nitrogen application has been kind of suspect in the in recent years is the late fall, early winter nitrogen application. I'll discuss that next. So late season nitrogen uptake is actually less than we thought. Bauer et al. Showed that low temperature reduced clipping yield response to nitrogen in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And we saw an increase, sold that showed an increase of nitrogen leaching as air temperature decreased from 10 degrees Celsius towards freezing. So that late fall nitrogen fertilizer application is no longer recommended. So we talked about spring and fall fertilizer applications. How do we base recommendations for the summer? These growth potential models developed by Pace Turf and the Asian Turf Grass Center, they align optimal air temperatures for photosynthesis for warm and cool season species. This figure on the right is from Pace Turf. Shows that the optimal growth potential for cool season species is around 20 degrees Celsius, and it suggests we should vary our fertilizer rates based off of these growth potential models. So a higher growth potential would estimate a higher nitrogen response for cool season species, and warm season species around 30 degrees Celsius for optimal growth potential. And we can see these models kind of align with the bimodal growth curves I introduced earlier. But we have noticed something different. As temperatures increase, you'd expect that cool season species would have a lower response to nitrogen fertilizer. But this is unpublished data from Kreuzer in 2014. With no additional nitrogen fertilizer applied, the nonlinear regression showed an R-squared of 0.99. And you can see during the warmer months of July and August, the rate of cumulative dry clipping yield increase faster during those warmer months. So we want to look at this a little bit closer, so we took the derivative of that yield regression. And this shows the estimated daily dry clipping yield, and it actually does correspond with a higher period of soil nitrogen mineralization. So is the air temperature actually affecting the nitrogen availability, or is the plant growing faster? That is our research question. Did the nitrogen responsiveness of cool season turf species change depending on air temperature? And we're going to measure the clipping yield response of three cool season species under different nitrogen levels in two controlled environments. So getting into our species and growing environment, we used three different species, started from plugs, creeping bentgrass, Kentucky bluegrass, and perennial ryegrass. And these plugs were grown in two environment growth chambers, a cool chamber to simulate the cool temperatures of the spring and the fall with an average air temperature of 20 degrees Celsius, and a hot chamber to simulate the warmer environment of the summer with an average air temperature of 30 degrees Celsius. All their conditions were kept the same, and these plugs were grown in black containers. Our weekly nitrogen fertilizer treatments were delivered with a urea solution at 0, 6, 12, and 24 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. All our nutrients were kept the same, and we did two runs of this experiment. Our timeline began 3 weeks before treatments started, with plugs taken from the East Campus field plots, and they were separated and acclimated in their respective chambers for 3 weeks. And we fertilized the first 2 weeks of acclimation with 5 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. We withheld fertilizer a week before treatments began, just to allow the residual effect to dissipate. And then we started treatments on day zero, and we began collecting clippings 2 weeks after treatments were applied, just to allow the plugs to respond to the nitrogen fertilizer. We continued clipping collection for 4 weeks. So a little closer look at data collection. We collected clippings flush with the top of the containers, and the soil level set the height of cut below the top so we could maintain an even height of cut, and they were dried and weighed. And then after clipping collection ceased, we collected a portion of the canopy for gibberellin analysis. And our statistical analysis, we used JUMP 13.1. Our random effects were days after treatment and run and an individual pot. We used ANOVA and a mean separation with Fisher's protected LSD. Our random effects, weeks after initial treatment and run, accounted for 27% of our error. And our random effects in individual plot accounted for 10% of our error. And looking at our ANOVA analysis, our random effects were all significant to a 0.001 level, and each two-way interaction was also significant. The three-way interaction was found not significant and was left out of this run. So getting into our results, the first interaction was species and nitrogen rate, and on the y-axis we have mean weekly clipping yield. Taking a look at creeping bentgrass and perennial ryegrass, the first three rates of nitrogen are pretty similar, but as we get up to that higher nitrogen rate, creeping bentgrass responded much more than perennial ryegrass, and Kentucky bluegrass showed a higher increase in almost all the nitrogen rates. Our next interaction was chamber and nitrogen rate, and again, mean weekly clipping yield on the y-axis. We did see a very high response to nitrogen in the cooler chamber, and there was still a response to the nitrogen rates in the hot chamber, just not to the magnitude of the cool chamber. And then our last interaction was species and chamber. And as you see, perennial ryegrass was much more sensitive to temperature than bentgrass and bluegrass. Bluegrass did show a decrease in growth from chambers, but it was found not significant. And Kentucky bluegrass was a little bit more sensitive than bentgrass. So we concluded that yield did increase with nitrogen rate among these species. That kind of aligns with the first graph I showed with nitrogen rate increasing clipping yield. And then our second conclusion, higher temperatures did reduce nitrogen response. This kind of validates the bimodal growth curves that show as temperatures increase, cool season species would show a reduced nitrogen response. And then sensitivity to temperature did vary between these species. So the implications this could have are varying nitrogen rates. In the summer, bentgrass might need more fertilizer than perennial ryegrass. And so this figure from Cousseau in 2012 shows that clipping yield is related to nutrient uptake. The linear regression of nitrogen fertilizer is the top line, and it's a R-squared of 0.981. So we saw a reduced clipping yield at higher temperatures. Does this mean that nutrient uptake was also reduced at those higher temperatures? That's what we don't know. We do know that as temperatures decreased, there was a reduced uptake, but we want to look closer at higher temperatures. And so we're going to add growth chambers so we can look at the different temperatures, and also we want to measure tissue nitrogen so we can calculate nutrient uptake. And I want to see if nitrogen rate also has an effect on carbohydrate production. I'd like to thank the USGA, University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and the Nebraska Turfgrass Association for funding. And I'll take any questions.
Time for questions.
Yes.
I'm just curious how
So the question was on root mass impact on shoot growth in the different chambers.
Is that not just shoot growth, but the last slide you showed was nutrient use, nutrient use efficiency for the phosphorus. Could it impact the use of the nutrients or uptake of the nutrients?
It could possibly. There would be, you'd expect a decreased regrowth in the warmer environments, but I don't know about the different nutrients, how that would impact it.
Was root biomass measured or these?
It was not.
Okay, thank our speaker.